to do a little heart check. A lot of time in this lesson. I went through the 876 verses, went through them all, that deal with the heart and hearts. And there's a lot of verses where the Bible mentions heart and hearts. And the Bible uses the heart as an example of what our will and intellect should be focused upon. It has much to do with how we think and what we allow into our lives. It makes very clear what a bad heart is and what a good heart is. And so, the question here, are you willing to put your heart to the searchlight of Scripture to see what kind of heart you have? These first ones that all start with A, they're all bad hearts. And then the ones that start with B are all good hearts that are mentioned in the Bible. Now, of course, the heart has to do with our attitude, has to do with our will, has to do with what we want, what we wish, what we are trying to do, what our focus is. That's the kind of the idea about the heart. And we will not have time to look up all of these references. We just do not have the time to do that. And I could have put many more, but I put some down so you can do your own study there. Maybe use it in a family devotion time or something, but you can look these things up. And we're going to start there with the first heart, which actually the first heart encompasses all of the other down to number 14. And what you can do out there to the left, as we go through these hearts, if you catch one that maybe you need some work on that area, you can put a check mark there out beside the number. And that means that's a heart, an attitude, or a way of thinking that I need to deal with. The heart has to do with a lot with our mind and how we think. So this first one is an evil heart. An evil heart. And like I said, it encompasses all those down to number 14. And we're going to go first to Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, where the Bible mentions this the first time heart appears in the Bible. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. So there you see, it has to do with how we think, our heart, what's in our mind, our will, our intellect, what we determine that we're going to do. That's our heart. So, we have this thing of every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Evil imaginations, thinking things that we ought not to think. Sometimes we watch things on television that put evil thoughts in our mind and cause us to dwell upon things in our mind that we shouldn't. And that's getting into the area of an evil heart. Psalm 66, verse 18. We're going to look up all these on the first one because it kind of set the stage for the rest that we'll go through. Psalm 66, verse 18 is a familiar verse that many of us have committed to memory. And it says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. If I regard iniquity in my heart, if there's something in my heart that I'm dwelling on, that I shouldn't be dwelling on, then something in there that in my thought patterns and not according to God's Word, then that hinders my praying. Boy, that's serious to allow these evil imaginations and thinking evil against someone, maybe we have something against somebody and we hope that it doesn't turn out well for them. Hinders your prayer life. Psalm 6 and verse 18. Psalm 6 and verse 18. Proverbs 6, pardon me. Looking right at it and said Psalms. 6 and verse 18. This is the list of those sins that God hates. They're abomination unto Him. And we look at that in Psalm 6, Proverbs. Why do I keep saying Psalms? Proverbs 6:18. An heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet to be swift in running to mischief. So notice this. This wicked imaginations is listed as an abominable sin. That's why we ought to guard our minds to keep the evil thoughts down. And evil thoughts are going to come. You know why? Because there's a devil. And he throws them in to our minds. But as the Bible tells us there in 2 Corinthians, the casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought unto the obedience of Christ. When an evil thought comes into my mind, I just say, Lord, I'm throwing that down. I don't want it. I don't want it in my mind. I confess it as wrong, and I want it out of there. Cast it down. Don't dwell upon it. Because if you dwell upon it, you're in one of these things that he says in verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven, are an abomination unto Him. It's abominable to leave those thoughts and dwell upon them. And to have evil imaginations, imagine yourself doing something that's not right, and to pamper your flesh, that's dangerous. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10. Here the Bible says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? The Lord searched the heart. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. That's why I would think that it's very, very important to keep the heart with all diligence, like it says up there in the top. I think I put it on, the first verse under How is Your Heart, Proverbs 4:23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Boy, it's important to keep our hearts right, because the Lord searches the heart. And I try the reins, he says, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Sometimes we wonder, why did God do this to me? Well, maybe it's because your heart wasn't where it was supposed to be. And he says, according to the fruit of his doings. Whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. Mark chapter 7 and verse 21. Mark chapter 7, verse 21. Here it says, for from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these things come from within and defile the man. See, none of those things are really ever accomplished without thought being put to it in the first place. That's why it's so important to guard our hearts. Don't allow those thoughts. When those thoughts of things that we know are wrong come into our mind, throw them out. Cast them out. Cast them down. And don't yield to them. And ask God for help and strength to keep it out of your mind. Luke chapter 6 and verse 45. Luke 6, 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. So you see the good and the bad heart. And we need to be very careful that we try to keep a heart that is not evil. Work at it. Keep those things out. Cast them down, the evil imaginations. And here, other things, these others now are parts of an evil heart. And that is, secondly, a doubting heart. A doubting heart. In Genesis 17:17, that's where Abraham doubted that he would have a child when he was so old. He doubted. And God, of course, let him know that God was not pleased with that, that he needed to trust God. And then Hebrews 3:12 warns of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief. So often we as Christians, we don't really, we say we believe, but we don't really believe. Because when a crisis comes, we go to pieces instead of trusting. Now, it's okay to be upset. It's okay to come to a place where we're really hurt and feel deserted, but it's wrong to stay there. It's wrong to stay there. We need to kick ourselves out of it and trust our God. Might get a bad report from the doctor. Hey, it puts us down when we get a bad report. But kick ourselves out of it and trust God, because we're not going to doubt that God will come through for us. And like Job said, if God destroys this place, he said, yet in my flesh will I see God. I'm going to get a new body someday. I know we all like to stay here and be with family and friends, but we're on the winning side and we need to trust God and not have the doubting heart. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. James chapter 1. I told myself if I get chasing rabbits in this lesson, we'll be here all night. So I'm going to have to move on. James chapter 1, verses 5 through 8. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. So we're going through a difficult time. What we should do? We should pray. Ask God for wisdom and help to understand. And it shall be given him. That's what it says. I mean, it didn't say it wouldn't. It says it will. But let him ask, verse 6, in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Yes, I'm trusting God that he'll get me out of this financial situation, but I know it's not going to work. I know it's this way, this situation is so bad that we'll never make it out of it. Hey, if we ask God for wisdom to show us what to do, he'll show us what to do, and if we do it, he'll come through. And he does. I remember the times of walking around the foundation of this building when we were about to go under. We went into a bond program that we should have never gone into. We should have trusted God. It was a hard lesson to learn. And I remember just walking around and praying and trusting God. And then I went on preaching, and God came through. He's the God that we can trust. And we need to get rid of that doubting heart. The doubting heart is not a good heart. Then number 3 is a hardened heart. Say, well, we believers don't have hardened hearts. Well, if you go to Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, we'll just look at a few verses here that are in this list on the hardened heart. Exodus 4:21 is when God hardened the heart of Pharaoh. Say, Pharaoh didn't have a chance because God hardened his heart. No, God, the true meaning of that, if you look at it closely, is God just brought out his character. God just let him be what he was. And God didn't intervene. He just let him be what he was. And his heart was hardened against the children of Israel and against the true God. But in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 3, the Bible says, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh. yet his days shall be 120 years. God said, my spirit's not going to always strive with man. There's going to come a time when I'm going to pull back because of his hardened heart. If you go to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 14. Happy is the man, it says, he that covereth his sins in verse 13 shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. And what is the feareth always? The fearing to go astray from the Word of God. That's the fear of the Lord. What is the fear of the Lord? Am I afraid of God? No, God loves me. I'm afraid to go against His Word, because I know if I go against His Word, it's not going to be good for me. It's going to cause me problems. There's going to be some reaping for my unwillingness to heed His Word. Dangerous. And to develop a hardened heart. Well, I know it's wrong. I know I shouldn't be doing it, but... Oops. That's dangerous. That's the heart. That's a sign of a hardened heart, because it's not going to change. I mean, I live with it. I think I'm okay. I think God understands. What He understands is what He said, and that's what He'll do. Proverbs 28 and verse 14. We just covered that one. So we'll go to 29 and verse 1. 29 verse 1 says, he that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. My spirit shall not always strive with man. There is a sin unto death for believers. The Bible teaches that God will bring chastisement into our life when we get off course. Why things sometimes just don't work out the way we think they should. It seems like things just turn around the wrong way. Well, it's because we have a hardened heart. And we won't listen to God, and we won't listen to His Word, and we won't follow what He says. That hardened heart, he that hath hardened his heart shall fall into mischief. And it does come, and often being reproved, we know God speaks to our heart. The Holy Spirit works on convicting us. We know we need to make a change. We know we need to do differently, but we don't. Then we make ourselves a candidate for the sin unto death. And there's a lot we could say about that, but time won't permit us. Malachi 2:2 said that they just would not hear. They had hardened their hearts so much that they just would not hear. And look what he said in Romans chapter 2. And it's still the same today as it was here in the time that Paul wrote this under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It was included in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. Or despisest thou the riches of His goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasures up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to every man according to his deeds. It is a dangerous thing to develop a hardened heart. Well, I know I shouldn't do this. I know I need to spend more time and my Bible reading and my prayer life is really, if everybody would know the truth, it's a shambles. Hey, God's reproved you of that many times. Are you going to develop a hardened heart against it, or are you going to work to make it different in your life and spend the time in the Word of God that you should? If it means you have to get up a little earlier, if it means you have to stay up a little later, if it means you have to use your lunch time at work, get it done. God's convicting you about it. Don't develop a hardened heart to it. Number four, a hating heart. We'll just catch this one in Leviticus 19:17. There's so many more that we could get on all these, but Leviticus 19:17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. The Bible teaches us that we should not have a hating heart. In 1 Chronicles 15:29, that's where Michael despised David in her heart. And it didn't fare well with her. Then number five is a sorrowful or discouraged heart. A lot more we can say about the hating heart, because there are some Christians that I've even heard them say, well, I hate him. I will never, ever have any good feelings about him or about her. Ooh, kind of dangerous. That's a hating heart. Sorrowful and discouraged heart is number five. A sorrowful, discouraged heart. Leviticus 26:16 says, because of their sin, they became sorrowful and discouraged because of sin. And Numbers 32:27 talks about, again, sin discourages. Deuteronomy 1:28. Chapter 1, verse 28. Here's what it says. Whither shall we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people is greater and taller than we. Well, a lot of times we get discouraged about that. Remember the spies when they came back? They said, all the giants are there. They said, boy, I'll tell you, we got these grapes that they have to be borne by two men on a staff, and this cluster of grapes, and it's a land of milk and honey, but it's bad. Oh, yeah, I know it's good to serve the Lord, but you don't understand how the devil fights, and you don't understand the things that I have to go through. Wait a minute. That discourages. Think about the Lord and how mighty He is. They said the cities are great and walled up to heaven. And moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakims there. And remember, they said that we look like grasshoppers to them. They're so big. Well, that was exaggeration. And sometimes we exaggerate our problems and we blow them out of proportion, and as a result, we get discouraged. We have a God who's greater than any problem. The Bible says He can do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. A sorrowful, discouraged heart. Sometimes sorrow comes into our life, but as the Bible says, it's only for a moment, because we can trust in our God and we can put our faith in Him. Number six, a forgetful heart. In Deuteronomy 4:9. We'll go to that one. Deuteronomy 4:9. Here it says, only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Well, we need to, lest we forget the things, keep them. They depart from our heart. We don't think about it anymore, that God did it. Chapter 8, verse 14 and verse 17 talks about, you come to the place where, boy, look what we did. Hey, look at this. Wow, look at this building here. You see what we did, man? A lot of man hours in here we put in and we did this thing. No. This would not be here without God. I can tell you that. Without Him, we wouldn't have this church building, this nice church building to sit in. It's not what we did. It's what He did. It's not our power. It's His power. And so often we forget that. We forget what God has done in our life. The homes that we have. Well, I worked hard and I got this house. Hey, you wouldn't get anything if it wasn't for God. And we forget, the forgetful heart, that all of our blessings come from God. And we forget that, the forgetful heart. Deuteronomy 11:16. And that is the deceived heart. The deceived heart. Deuteronomy 11:16. We'll get this one. 11:16. It says, take heed to yourselves that your heart be not deceived, and you turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. If we had more time, we'd look at all the be not deceived verses in the Bible. There's several of them. Boy, those are things, good, something for you to look up. Be not deceived. Don't have that deceived heart. And it talks about it again in 15:9-10. Let's go over to Psalm 10:11. Psalm 10:11. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 11. He has said in his heart, God hath forgotten. He hideth his face. He will never see it. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, the Bible says. Proverbs 15, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. There isn't any place where you can hide from the Lord. He sees everything. And so many people are deceived because they do things and they think, well, God doesn't know. Nobody else knows. And God will overlook it. He doesn't overlook it. He sees everything. He knows all the stars by name. Man. If I had to take that task on, I would be worse than an F with it. I would fail miserably. I couldn't remember all that. I have trouble enough just remembering my own name. And, boy, I'll tell you, it's getting bad. But anyhow, James 1:26 talks about bridling the tongue. It needs to be in our heart to bridle the tongue. And if we don't bridle it, we are deceived. There's a lot we could talk about that. Some Christians, you know, are... they got to tell every story. That's a deceived heart because they don't realize how dangerous that is. And we'll see that a little bit later here. Okay, let's go to number 8, which is a disobedient heart. 1 Samuel 13:14. Saul lost the kingdom because of his disobedient heart. And in Ezekiel 13:2, he said the prophets that prophesy in his name, he said they see nothing. Why? Because they were disobedient. They were deceived. They had a deceived heart and disobedient heart to God's word. And he said those false prophets, they actually see nothing. The disobedient heart. Boy, there's a lot of verses we could go to for that, that disobeying. Number 9, a heart of pride. Uzziah, King Uzziah, or Uzziah, however you say his name, in 2 Chronicles 26:16, he found out what pride would do. He thought he was something, so he went in the temple and all of a sudden, leprosy come upon him. They threw him out. He was a leper the rest of his life. The Bible says because of his pride. Hezekiah in chapter 32 and verse 26, Hezekiah had to repent of his pride. He said he had to repent of it. And if you go to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 25, and there's a lot of verses that we could look at concerning pride. Sometimes I don't know why everybody else doesn't see this. I see it. I think everybody else has lost their brains, and I'm the only one that's got brains. Well, some problem there. If you think you're the only one that got brains, you're probably the only one that doesn't have. Proverbs 28. Here I am in Psalms again. I don't know how I get over there. But Proverbs 28. And verse 25. 28:25. You see all my chicken scratches up here. You'd know why I get lost half the time. Proverbs 28:25. Here's what it says. He that is of a proud heart stirreth up strife, but he that putteth his trust in the Lord shall be made fat. So the Bible makes it very clear that pride, as the Bible says, leadeth to destruction, a haughty spirit before a fall. Okay, let's go to number 10. That's a hypocrite's heart. A hypocrite's heart. 2 Peter 2:3. Here's what happens to a lot of people, saved and unsaved. 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 3. It says this, "And through covetousness shall they with feigned words." Now they're doing these feigned words or these hypocritical words because they're making merchandise of you. It says, words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. There are a lot of people out there that are covetous, and I know you get those all the time with the telephone calls and the different schemes to get you and to make you think. Sometimes some of these, and I'm not saying all of them, there are some good ministries out there that are trying to raise funds and keep things going, but there are some of them who that money never goes. Any donations never goes to the purpose that they put it out there for. And so we have to be careful to check things out. Check it out, because there is the hypocrite's heart. Luke 20:20, Psalm 12:2. Proverbs, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 26. 26 verses 23 to 25. It says this, "Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross." In other words, it's a cheap piece of pottery covered with silver. Probably going to fall apart on you. "He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not. For there are seven abominations in his heart." And that's the way with some people, you know, they are hypocrites. They want you to believe that they're really good Christians. But if you followed them through the week, you'd say, "Are they really Christian? They claim to be on Sunday. Why, they're some of the pillars of the faith." But through the week, their mouth doesn't say they're a Christian. Their actions don't say they're a Christian. The things that they watch on TV don't say that they're a Christian. The movies that they bring into their home don't say that they're a Christian. They're hypocrites. The hypocrite's heart. Matthew 15, verse 8, "This people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Remember Ananias and Sapphira there in Acts chapter 5, verses 3 and 4. Didn't pay for them to be hypocritical about the offering they gave. And you can read Romans 16 and verse 18 there as well. That it's a dangerous thing to have a hypocrite's heart. We need to be what we are. And what we are ought to be pleasing to the Lord. If not, we need to do some confessing and getting our heart right. Then number 11 is a foolish heart. Proverbs 14:1 says, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." And look in Proverbs 11:20. Proverbs 11:20. It's a foolish thing to say that there is no God. And Proverbs 11:20 says this, "They that are of a froward heart." The froward heart is a heart that's not willing to yield. It's a heart that says, it's kind of like a, "This is the way it's going to be. I don't care what you say. This is the way it's going to be." That's a froward heart. "I don't care what God says. I don't care what anybody says." It's a froward heart. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord, but such are upright in their way are His delight. And so that's a foolish heart to say that, boy, it's going to be the way I want it to be. I don't care, the Bible says. I don't care what God says. I don't care about what anybody else says. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do what I want to do. That's a forward heart. And that is a very foolish heart. 12:23. A prudent man concealeth knowledge. It doesn't mean that he doesn't teach, because other verses in the Bible teach that we ought to teach. We ought to be teachers of the truth. But in other words, what it's saying is that the prudent man, he's not trying to show off how much he knows. He's not trying to impress people by what he knows. But the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. He's always wanting to tell you how much he knows. And then the next one here that I want us to look up in this foolish heart is Romans 1:21. Romans 1:21. Now, if you're watching the time, I know I'm only going to get the bad hearts tonight. I'll have to get the good hearts next week. And then the following week is Bible school, so I'll be done by then, I hope, with these hearts. So, okay, Romans chapter 1. And this is the one I wanted to look at. Yes, chapter 1, verse 21. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination. So here they are, they knew God, but they don't glorify Him as God. They're not even thankful to Him. They become vain in their imaginations, empty. Don't think on the right things. It says their foolish heart was darkened. That's a foolish heart, to just let your heart get away from God and not glorify Him like you should and go the way of the world. Psalm 81 and verse 12. This one picks up another heart, which I didn't put all these hearts in the list. I just picked them up with some of the verses. 81 and verse 12. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. That's the lusting heart. And that's a very foolish heart, to go with the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes. That's a terrible thing. It's foolish. We need to guard the things we watch, guard the places we go, keep ourselves from lust. Because lust, as the Bible says, is a dangerous thing. It's a deadly thing for not only the unbeliever, but for the believer as well. Then number 12 is a heart that sows discord. We were there in Proverbs chapter 6. We'll go back there. These seven sins that God hates that are an abomination to Him. A heart that sows discord. It says in verse 6, chapter 6, verse 14, frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. See, frowardness. That some people are froward in that they have got to gossip on everybody. They've got to tell what everybody else's problem is and what everybody else has been involved in, and that's frowardness. That's saying, well, I know God says I shouldn't. I ought to keep my mouth shut and keep my words. Watch my words. I'll tell you, one of the hardest things that I have found in my Christian life is this mouth right here that Floyd Radebaugh has. I've found that to be the hardest thing to control, because I'm all the time saying something I wish I'd never said. And it's so devastating. Boy, got to watch it, a heart that sows discord. Verse 19 says, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Boy, that's a dangerous thing, to sow discord among brethren. In other words, we talk to one person about one person. We talk to the other person about that person. We get people against people. We're sowing discord. We, in the church, we speak against the things that are going on, and instead of handling it the right way and talking to the people that we should talk to. We sow discord. That's a dangerous thing. Number 13 is a covetous heart. Covetous heart. Solomon, boy, he really taught on that in Ecclesiastes 2, verse 10, verse 15. Solomon made it very clear that he coveted everything he could find. He had the riches. Why, he had one of the greatest kingdoms of all times. Kingdom that has never been surpassed was Solomon's kingdom. And he had great wealth. Silver was as stones. Gold was everywhere. He sent the ships out to come back with golds and all kinds of precious things. He had great wealth. And so he said he tried everything. His heart was covetous. He tried everything. And he said it only led to emptiness. Some Christians, they just cannot stay away from playing that lottery. Well, you know, playing the lottery, number one, it's gambling. It's taught against in the Bible. And number two, it's covetousness. It's wanting something that God hasn't given to us. And it's a dangerous thing, the covetous heart. Wish we had more time to look at some of these things. We'll go to one verse in Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. Ezekiel 33 and verse 31. Here it says, "And they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness." Sometimes God impresses our heart when there's a special need. They like Howard's truck or something else. God presses our heart to give, but we don't, because there's something else we want to do and we want to get. That's covetousness. We should trust God. The Bible tells us to delight thyself in the Lord, Psalm 37:4, and He will give thee the desires of thine heart. Put the Lord first. Trust Him. He'll take care of you. Number 14, the last one, a blind heart. Sad to say, that's where a lot of Christians are, the blind heart. They just don't see what they ought to see. Oftentimes we preachers talk to each other about, we preach the word and it seems like it flies right over the top of the congregation. Must land out there somewhere on the parking lot, because it never gets here to here. And sometimes that's pretty frustrating. The blind heart, Ephesians 4. Sometimes we'll sit in a church service and our mind is 10,000 miles away, thinking on something else. Thinking about what we're going to watch on TV tonight, or maybe some snack we're going to have after church, or somebody's coming over. And I hope I didn't put some thoughts in your mind and get you thinking off of the lesson tonight. But anyhow, Ephesians 4:17. Therefore, I say, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, the empty mind. Sometimes I think some Christians just have that empty mind. Their mind isn't focused on, Lord, give me something tonight. I want to leave church that I got something. I'm praying that when I leave here tonight, you'll give me something. Or when I come Sunday morning, when I go to Sunday school, that I'll get something. I'm trusting you to give me something. I'm not coming with the vanity of my mind, the emptiness of my mind. I don't want anything in there. I got an ear over here and an ear over here, and there's nothing in between. Some people turn that song around, nothing between. My ears for my Savior, you know. And turn it around. So, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. The blindness of their heart. The blind heart. Let's go to Isaiah 26:10 and look at this one. And I think I'm going to have to finish there because our time is gone. Next week we'll look at the good hearts. And we'll take the good heart test. You got the bad heart test tonight, and you can check those off if there's areas that you need to work on. But next Wednesday we'll catch the good hearts. Isaiah 26:10 and 11. That's Lord willing. The Lord is in control. Isaiah 26, verses 10 and 11. That's 25. Let favor be showed to the wicked, yet will he not learn righteousness. God has done that with America, you know. He has let favor be shown to us. One of the greatest blessed nations of all time. We have lived in freedom. We don't have to be concerned about someone coming in here. Until lately, we have to keep our security team watching. Brother Dick Wirt, when he came in tonight, saw our cross on the outside. Somebody had hung it upside down on the church. And that's usually the Satanist crowd. I don't know. We don't know who did it. We can go back and look on our cameras, but we can't actually see that direction. And that we're coming into a time when we might see persecution. Why? Because God has showed favor to the wicked, yet he won't learn righteousness. Where have we come in our country with such a greatly blessed country? And here we are with the homosexuals and the same-sex marriages and a drug problem that is out of control. Alcohol. Now we're putting in, right here even in Marion, the marijuana station. And it won't be long. You can come to me and say, you were wrong, Pastor, but I think you'll come to me and you'll say you're right. It won't be long before that place will be dispensing it for recreational purposes. It'll leave the medical and it'll go to recreation. And then you have people driving on the road. They're not all together there. They're not thinking right. I remember the studies that were done on marijuana a few years ago, and it is a devastating thing to a person's health on a long-term use. Dangerous. But anyhow, God has shown favor. He lifted up his hand. When thy hand is lifted up, he says, they will not see. Verse 11. But they shall see and be ashamed for their envy at the people. Yea, the fire of thine enemies shall devour them. In other words, God said they'll see when judgment comes and falls upon them. The tornadoes roaring through Ohio and all across the Midwest up into Pennsylvania, and the devastation that we just saw, and the storms that have been coming, the flooding, and they're not able to plant crops across the what you would call the, I would think you would call it the breadbasket part of our country. You just think, well, wake up, America. Will you wake up? God has shown you great blessing and you turned and you despised it and you've done these things that God says clearly are an abomination. You're blinded to God's Word. You won't see it. You won't hear it. So what do you expect? Some people think I'm nuts, but I think that we're facing the real, real serious threat of someday seeing the China flag raised in this country. I think that's a real threat if your eyes are open. I think that it could be the Russian flag, but it's more leads me to look at the China flag. And China may use Iran to lure us away. And then she'll strike. It's dangerous. God says that He gives them, when they turn their back on Him, the nations that forget God shall be cast into hell. Well, I better quit. I'm chasing too many rabbits. Never knew I'd never get through. I prepared this lesson, and it took me a long time, 876 verses running through them. I said, if I ever get through this, it will be something. Well, I didn't get through it. We'll have to pick up the good hearts, the hearts, on be in there 15 next week, Lord willing. Yes, Gerald. Well, that's true. They don't. They don't know history. It's not being taught fully in our schools. But I don't want this message tonight to be a doom and gloom. We just went through the bad hearts. But wait till we get to the good hearts. There is hope if we will develop these good hearts. There's hope for our country if we can turn our hearts toward Him. And those of you who listen online and go to our website and get the messages, I hope you will be challenged to work, and our people here, to work to turn America back to God. That's our only hope. The only way we're going to make America great again is turn back to God. And the economy is improving, yes. But it won't last. If our enemies come in and overtake us, it won't last. If we keep having the problems that we have, and we now have children, little small children, developing cancer, born with cancer. Never heard of that before. Diseases that are rampant in our country. It's time for America to wake up. Well, I better shut up. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time together. Thank You for Your Word so clear and plain to guide us. Help us to work on these hearts. These hearts we see that sometimes we get involved in them that are not right. Help us to work to overcome it. Get our hearts in the right place. Get our minds where they ought to be. And get on to the things that You want us to do. We thank You. We love You. If there be anyone here tonight who's not sure they're saved, help them to get it settled. Help them, none of us, to have a hardened heart that we would just say, well, I don't care. I don't care what you say, Pastor. I don't care what that Bible says. Oh, let us never develop a hardened heart, a froward heart. Help us to stay soft and tender, as we'll see next time. Thank You. We love You. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.